Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Toby.
And this is the Whispering Woods Extra. This extra is all about...
witches.
It is. I've got one long story today. Are you ready for the story?
Yes, I am.
I lived in Adams, Tennessee, ages 14 to 18, 2004 to 2008. Something unexpected happened a few weeks after my family and I moved there. I was mowing on my dad's tractor with a big 8-foot-wide back-end mower. I was going down a hill when my horizon line violently shifted as the tractor tires hit something. I disengaged the mower and pulled the tractor around at the base of the hill I had just gone down. My blood went cold as I looked up through the swathe I had just cut. Like a buzzer going down the middle of someone's head, making a lane in the grass. In that lane were 4 Native American burial graves. My parents started to reach out to anyone who could help us identify the graves. Anthropologists, historians, accredited people, etc. Those people unanimously agreed that these 4 graves were from the Trail of Tears. They corroborated this from what I remember because of how the graves were laid. Very, very shallow, with a giant slab of stone where a gravestone would be. The fact that they were interned on a hillside to keep the water from sinking in and raising the bodies, since they had to bury them so quickly, and many other reasons. I consider myself a very logically driven and rationally minded person. I let my empirical senses try to explain something before I open myself to other possibilities. Yet, some things happened to my whole family that we couldn't rationalize with the scientific mindset or anything logical. Event 1. The activity in our house started shortly after the mowing incident. We heard heavy knocking and pounding on the brick outer wall of the house, encircling it. No matter where you were in the house, you could hear the knocking. Some nights, I would hear running footsteps accompanying the pounding. This activity happened nearly every night. As the nights passed, I started feeling a heavy presence in my room, a suffocating one, like a heavyweight constantly sitting on my solar plexus. Whatever was happening decided to latch onto me. Event 2. Things continued to escalate. One night, I was letting my golden retriever out to go pee. We had a ranch-style house overlooking the Red River. The door we exited was on the house's backside, facing the river. As I opened the door, I started hearing faint whispering. Something akin to leaves being blown or scratched across the ground. I looked up at the trees to see if the wind was blowing. Everything was perfectly still. It was fall in Tennessee, so there were tons of leaves on the ground. They weren't moving either. The scratchy blowing leaf noise continued, but as it continued, it grew closer and louder. It sounded like a language of some sort, like how you'd imagine an incantation, or something nefarious in the tone of the sound. I looked down at my golden retriever. All of the hair on her back was standing up, and she was snarling like a rabid wolf, not barking. Just kind of frozen in a fear response. I started getting extremely nauseous and could smell sulfur. I was completely frozen when my dog launched herself through the door's threshold and started gnashing her teeth mid-air, snarling and chomping. The voices were now coming from directly in front of me. I could hear them as if someone was standing there a foot or two away. I grabbed my dog mid-air and pulled her quickly inside. I slammed the door and threw the deadbolt in place. The door and frame shook violently, and a vicious pounding started on the threshold. I ran with my dog to the centre of the house, flipping on every light along the way. We sat there alone all night until the sun came up. Ginger, my golden retriever, laid across my lap the entire night, pressing into me when she whimpered for hours. All I could do was pet her and try to calm her down, which also helped me downregulate. This was impossible though, because the back door was thumping the entire night until sunrise. Event 3. It happened when I was coming home from football practice. I had all my gear in a gym bag over my left shoulder. This is important because of how I entered the house. As I closed the front door behind me, I began shifting on the gear bag from my left side, which caused me to look right. The room when you first walked in was our library, where we had a leather couch, chair, piano, bookshelves, and a wooden rocking chair. Something was sitting on the rocking chair. My peripheral vision caught it first. the chair going back and forth. As my vision centred on the chair, a humanoid-looking shape was sitting there, head glancing downward at the book it was holding. Long black hair is drawn down over its face and completely void of light. To picture what I saw, imagine the silhouette of a person, but rather a void of light. The light coming in around its edges seemed to be eaten up by the presence, spilling over the contour edges of the humanoid shape, almost exactly like how black holes are visualised. I felt like I'd jumped off a bridge into ice-cold water. I blasted myself backwards against the door, screaming, and fell down. As I was falling, I saw the void blur suddenly as it shot across the walls of the house and out through a huge bay window overlooking the river. My golden retriever was in the next room, and she sprinted to chase the shadow across the walls, barking and clawing at it. After it left through the window, my dog came to me and lay on my lap until my parents got home. Event 4. I was fishing with my cousin Jack on the river by our house. We were right on the bend of a river, so the moon would be shining on both sides of the river, racing out at two lines, like a 90-degree angle from the house. It was super beautiful when you weren't on edge. I bring this up because there was a lot of light on the river that evening. Jack was about 10 or so then. He reached up and tapped me. "Does that lady need help?" I looked to where he was pointing, and there was a pale woman, dressed in white clothes, going back and forth, picking up stones, just to the left of us, across the river. I'd seen her many times before around the property, and whenever I would get close, she would disappear behind a tree or something similar would happen. Knowing this, I told Jack as calmly as I could that it was time for dinner and he needed to go up to my mum immediately, in an attempt not to scare him. When I walked him up and made sure he was on his way, I looked back over and she was gone, but I could hear a splashing in the water below. Event 5. My dad, his friends, and some other family members were staked out along the river bend on the gravel bar beneath the rise to our house. It was nothing out of the ordinary at first. It was July 4th, and we were having a good time for a change. We were all spread out, about 15 yards from each other. Each man had a low-end gas Coleman lantern. As the sun was setting, my dad looked over at me like something was bugging him. He told me later that he felt like someone had just thrown a bucket of ice-cold water over him before it began. The sun had just gone down when this happened. In unison, all the lanterns were cranked up full blast, then just as quickly became barely aflame. Then the fires roared to life again, down to barely aflame, and then they completely went out. Right as the fire went out, we heard the most godforsaken scream by some woman across the river. Whatever it was, it kept screaming, despite our best attempts to call out for help. As her scream reached a crescendo, it sounded like what I could only imagine, a person's throat being cut, interrupted her scream. The sound of a dead weight fall of a human body tumbling down the hillside across from us and splashing violently into the water. At this point, all the guys had their flashlights out. That's when something started swimming and splashing around in the water on both sides of the river bend. The splashing receded towards the opposite gravel bar, and whatever it was got out and started pacing across the rocks. We pointed all of our flashlights to where the sound was coming from, but couldn't identify where it originated. It's safe to say we were running up the hill at this point. We all entered the house, locked the doors, and gathered in the central living room. Nobody wanted to leave for fear of what was outside. We stayed up that night, because the wall pounding was more violent than ever. Bam, bam, bam. All night, like the ticking of some demonic clock. I didn't sleep for 2 days after this event. Event 6. Lost time. I was walking through the woods near the Bell Witch Cave. One moment, it was completely sunny, and the sky was blue, about mid-afternoon. The next moment, it was overcast and looked like maybe 4 p.m. Event 7. Night terrors. Torture dreams. Being held down and brutally drawn and quartered. Dreams of walking through the house and the void person placing the hand on my chest and pushing through my solar plexus. Body violently shaking in the dream, like having a seizure. Event 8. Visited the Bell House plantation marker in a tobacco field adjacent to my family's property. Brought friends to try and prove that something crazy was happening to my family. The rite of passage in this area is to go to the stone marker where the paranormal events happened hundreds of years ago, then dance on the stone, saying, "I don't believe in the Bell Witch." I got them to promise they wouldn't do that while we went. Of course, the moment we got there, one guy, who had doubted the legends massively, jumps onto the stone marker and starts screaming, "I don't believe in the Bell Witch," as loud as he can. I got so upset at him. I'm the only one who knows the way back. So I said, "Come on guys, we're leaving." In this area, it's known as the Tennessee River Valley. So there's tons of flowing water around these tobacco fields. The reason this is important is because of what happened next. We're making good time walking back across the crop field, hundreds of yards long. A mist starts rolling in from the river and begins to saturate the field. The temperature drops quickly by 25 degrees or so, and we start seeing our breath. I begin to smell sulfur in the breeze. As the mist became a fog, it began. I started hearing this wheezy and deeply cavernous sounding breath around us, like being inside a cave that was breathing. Out of nowhere, we started hearing these giant blasting sounds, and I realised something was walking on the chopped tobacco stalks. Side note, when they harvest tobacco, they use a machete and cut it down at a 45 degree angle, leaving about 3.5 feet of brittle stalk poking out of the ground. When you step on said stalks, they disintegrate in a very loud way as they burst apart. This started happening all around us, like an army of native spirits running around as if they were in a bandwagon battle. The blasts were coming from every direction in the fog. That's when I hear it. That deep, cavernous noise turns into this giant sniffing sound, like some Lovecraftian beast smelling its prey just out of eyesight. At this point, I yell, "Run!" in pure panic mode. We take off across the field, trying not to trip and be skewered by the stalks. They dry out and get really sharp when they're harvested. Also, Robertson County is the world's largest producer of tobacco per square mile, so these fields are everywhere. Fun fact. As we exited the field and our feet hit the gravel road, the lower centre part of my back suddenly explodes in agony. I looked down and there was a massive rock lying at my feet, and I realised that I had just been assaulted. When I got to my house and examined my back in the mirror, the bruise was about the size of a basketball and was already turning black. Event 8. I woke up, outside, about 3 a.m. I was lying next to the four graves on the property. The night was awfully cold, but I woke up soaked in sweat. We lived there for so long that I have many events to share and process, and I'm willing to discuss my time there with you all. It is tough for me to talk about this stuff without re-traumatizing myself, but my friends and family are encouraging me to share my experiences with like-minded people so I can try to find peace surrounding my trauma. Thank you for reading.
So there are quite a few links attached to this story. What I'll do is make sure they go in the episode notes so that everybody can take a look. Because there's a bit at the end of the Reddit post that has all of these links. So if you do want to go and take a look, you can. If you remember, quite a while ago, we did that Bell Witch episode, didn't we?
Yeah.
That's Craig Sawyer wrote for us. And if you haven't checked out his new book, it is now in the shops. It's called The Clay Boy, but I'll put a link in the podcast episode. But lots going on. Lots going on in that story. All sorts of things going on. I'm in a bit of a witchy mood at the moment.
You always are.
Yeah. But I'm just like, and I think because it's like coming in, well, meant to be spring, coming in summer, I get all kind of witchy. I love it. We're expecting a storm tonight, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yes, it better happen.
Yeah.
If I wake up tomorrow morning and I wasn't woken up by thunder and lightning, I'm going to be really disappointed.
Yeah.
So missing time, we actually had a little bit of that as well in the Wednesday Whisper, which is the Patreon episode. And I have experienced this before and I've talked about it before on an episode. Can you remember me saying that I would used to go down to my mate's house and she'd ring up Nanny and say, oh, where's Sarah? And Nan would be like, oh, she left ages ago. And I'd go somewhere. And to me, in my mind, I'd walk just straight down.
Yeah. I don't know. I never felt that apart from, like, when the clocks go backwards or forwards or whatever it is. To be honest.
Takes you a while to catch up.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does fret. I wish they'd stop doing that, to be perfectly honest. It's like we don't need it anymore. We're not, you know, the kids aren't helping out on the farms before they go to school and stuff like that. It's just unnecessary. And it really messes with your natural sleep rhythm. I'm done with it. At least it went on Mother's Day. It's like sometimes, well, quite a lot, it falls on Mother's Day. And as mothers, we want that extra hour on Mother's Day. We don't want to be losing it. Disgusting.
Well, that's the end of this episode. I hope you enjoyed and we'll catch up with you again soon.
We will indeed. I'll catch up with you again on Saturday and we'll be back again for the main episode on Monday. Take care, everyone.
Goodbye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.